Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the Misericordia University Alumni Podcast. I am your host, Class of 2017 and 2019 alumnus, Mike Gambita. Today on the show, we are featuring a postcard profile. Ladies and gentlemen, and alumni of Misericordia, please welcome 2017 alumna, Caitlin Hall. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's so excited to have you on campus for an in-person podcast.
It is. It's so nice to actually be in the building.
Yeah, in the building, seeing new things, maybe some old things.
Yes.
But we're glad to have you on today's podcast. Let's just start off with how all podcasts start off with. What have you been up to since you have graduated from Misericordia?
So since I've graduated from Misericordia, I started off at three different venue places, but I've actually ended up at Huntsville Golf Club, which is literally right down the road. I'm their food and beverage manager, which means I take over all of their restaurant portion of it and all of their events. So weddings, golf tournaments, everything like that, including any of our larger golf tournaments that we've been now holding.
Okay. So when you talk about events and the food, you know, talk me through, I mean, I'm sure it's not a 9-to-5 job. Everything's different. Talk me through maybe a typical day as far as what you would experience.
So a typical day, I usually get in around 7 in the morning. I start off by checking all of my basic things, the email, everything, make sure nothing came up, nothing's different, especially on an event day. And then I actually go through all of my function sheets. So that has every single little possible detail that you wouldn't even expect. Like, oh, I know their favorite colors, this, I know that. So I know a personal level of them because usually, especially for weddings, you're working with them possibly 2 years long. After that, we go in, I help with lunch, dinner service, go into that, and then we'll go into the event. And that is usually held in our tent, which is fantastic. It's a beautiful tent. And everything from decor to everything I will set up, plan, prepare, get all my servers out there ready to go, prep them. So it usually typically runs from possibly 7 in the morning to maybe 1 in the morning on a crazy night. But usually it could be like an easy, like, you know, a 9 to 8 o'clock job every day. But the bonus with my job is we kind of get a break. And right after Christmas, we have 3 months off.
Wow.
So that's when I can go back to school, go travel, do all of that stuff.
Yeah. So talk me, because I believe, I mean, Misericordia doesn't have a hospitality major, but kind of talk me through, A, what got you into Misericordia? What did you major in? And then also any further education, because I know there's maybe a couple other certifications and maybe even more furthering your education for that.
Yes. So what ended up happening was I'm the third generation going to Misericordia. So I knew it was Misericordia right then and there. For a second, I was going to go medical. And I started to see this and I said, this is not for me. And I ended up with an English degree with a minor in communications and a specialization in pre-law. And I was able to take that degree and mold it into event planning.
Okay.
So you learn how to write properly, because if something's not done properly, how you speak, how you act, how you talk, and all of that kind of went into that. And I think here in particular, I was able to meet the right people and start planning events here on campus. Branch out, go there. I had an internship with State Representative Aaron Coffer that I was his event person while I was here because of my connections with Misericordia and everything. And that was a huge opportunity because what was great was I wasn't on the political end. I was on the legislative. So I was able to plan like the senior expo where all the seniors get, you know, apple cider and all this stuff. So I was always kind of in the food industry of it. I grew up with my dad as a chef. So I was kind of already in the business.
Okay.
I went into marketing when I left here to do that for hospitality. And I went back to Cornell University for my certification in hospitality marketing, which was a phenomenal program, great opportunity. But I started to miss the event end. Mm. So I went from the Westmoreland Club where I did all of their marketing and events, which I loved. And then I was able to go back and do events with Huntsville because I originally started off at Stonehenge, which was the Festival of Lights with 40,000 people at it. So I knew staying in hospitality and events was for me.
Interesting. And I do have to say, because a lot of the marketing pieces that at least I have seen being connected with you professionally and personally on Facebook is your photography for foods. I do have to say those look so good. I want to just take my hand right through the screen and pull it out. I mean, you do a lot of great photography. So kind of talk to me. It's a little side business, right?
It is.
Tell me about it, because, all these passion projects culminate into what we do every now and then.
So I laugh about the photography thing because it was you need one more class. It's your senior year. And I said, well, I'll just take photography. Let's see how it goes. And it ended up becoming such a passion project where even when I first started out, I was like, I can't figure this out. I can't do this. And then it all clicked one day.
Yeah.
The food photography is amazing because it's a whole different end of things with lighting and everything. And I love it. So it's great because then I also get to eat whatever I'm taking a photo of. So it's great. What this has turned into, though, is for certain events, they want people to take pictures of the events. Mm. So it's kind of been a multi-purpose thing that I've been able to use outside of here. So it's become a side business for other businesses, for people personally, and then it's also just for myself, because when you want to take a picture of something, you kind of know how to take it properly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, food of all things, it's within the detail.
Yes.
And if you're not getting the detail of the food, or if it doesn't look that was made fresh out of the oven, there's some things where, you I guess, prep it a little bit. You plate it.
You do. But you plate it, and it's awful. Like, you have, like, turn this light on in the kitchen, turn that one off, grab this flash, and then you're also like, oh, sprinkle salt right now while I'm taking the picture, so...
It's all those minute details that just make it so mouthwatering for you to just attend wherever the food is at.
Yes, yes.
Now, Caitlin, let me ask you a fun question here. So event planning is something we usually do in alumni relations. One of the things that I will always remember was my first event that I held. I'm sure that you can tell me and recount that story of the first event you ever held in any position. It doesn't have to be Huntsville, but talk to me through it and maybe some of the challenges that you faced.
So this is actually a really funny story. My very first event, it was a girl who was kind of stepping in until I got there. So sure. She was like, yes, you can put these florals with these candles on the table. This is a very key thing about it. Mm-hmm. And I walk out and I said, I really don't want you to light those candles. You have dried flowers on the table. And as I said that, centerpiece caught on fire, and the people start panicking. I'm putting out the fire. The DJ's running over, grabbing it and taking care of it. And it was right before the event. So then we were able to fix it. Okay. So no one knew. I learned in events, it's you fix it before anybody knows. So at my job currently, they say, extinguisher, you got to get out there. Because I will extinguish and fix, and nobody will know about it. I've done everything from gluing, from taping, anything. And that event I will never forget, because there's just a fire in the middle of the thing. And I was only there for 2 days. So I was like, I don't even know where anything is in the building. I need to get this out now. But the event was fantastic in the end. So then I was like, okay, you know what? I'm in the right career. It's fine. Everything is fine.
The phrase putting out fires. I mean, you legit put out a fire.
I literally put out a fire. Yes.
That's wow. I'm so happy I asked that question, because I think too many times people don't realize, and I think you can speak upon it, the behind the scenes work that goes into putting an event.
Yes. It's so detailed, and it's also that way so everything goes perfectly. For my end, we just did a 250-person wedding. When you do that, you have to make sure that every single person at that table has the proper plate with the proper food, because we do it plated.
Right.
So now you have all your servers ready to go. They know where they are, how many is at their table, who's eating what they may look like, every little key detail that you're using for it. And people just don't know that that's what actually goes on. They get their food in 7 minutes, because you go right through the tent, it's done, it's over, you're good. And in the back, you're like, oh, we did it again. So it's just one of those things that people don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
Now, ballpark, how many weddings have you probably have done in your time in hospitality?
In my time in hospitality, since I was a kid, since I helped a lot as a kid. Yeah, my dad being a chef, we would cater a lot of events and go out for other family members and everything. I've probably done over 50 so far, which doesn't seem like a lot, but I'm only 27. Yeah. So I said, right now, it's one of those things where it's just started. And alone next year, we have 15 coming up. So I'm kind of ready to go 24/7 with weddings. I know so much about weddings.
Right.
So
if you know so much about weddings, I mean, I'm certainly not expecting a wedding anytime soon myself.
Right.
And I don't think you are either.
I am not.
What do you think... Typically, I mean, I think some people our age are at that point when they're getting ready for a wedding.
Yes.
What do you think is, and this is a fun question too, your ideal wedding setup?
My ideal wedding setup, everybody laughs. So I have seen everything from crazy over-the-top weddings to maybe very minimal. And I said, you just want to go to a wedding and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if... that day comes up soon. I said, it's going to be in a beautiful field with a huge tent. And I said, I want all like the beer, wine out ready to go so everyone can just grab what they want. And just a simple like barbecue. Like seriously, I am like that. People laugh at me all the time. I said, because I went to one where it was an upscale barbecue thing. And I said, this is the best wedding I've ever gone to. Everybody was in relaxed attire. You know, except the bride and groom, they had like their normal, typical outfit on, but it was gorgeous. They were overlooking this beautiful scenic overview. That's where their wedding was held. You went in and it was, they had a very upscale. So it was like the carved, like...
pig roast.
Yeah, a pig roast. Like,
wow.
A pig roast. It was unbelievable. But they also had like your carved London broil, your carved this, prime rib was another option that you were talking about because I knew the couple and they had that. But what was so great was after everybody was served, because a lot of it was you could just, it was a buffet, so you can grab it. They let the hospitality workers sit down and eat. And when I saw that, I was like, that's what I want. Because I know how hard you work in the back. I would want them to enjoy it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, stepping away from weddings, but kind of asking the same question. What advice would you give, let's just say, to an event planner, whether they plan weddings, they plan events? What advice would you typically give right out of the gate if you met somebody who was just getting into event planning?
Right out of the gate, get organized immediately. Get your calendars, get your planners, get everything together. And I actually have three different calendars.
Okay.
Just to keep myself like, here's where all of my service staff are taking their vacation. That's one calendar.
Right.
Here's where I need to focus on for events and how to plan it. That is so key because if you don't, it just, you spiral.
Right.
And then you're just kind of like, okay, where's this? Where's that? So as long as you keep yourself organized, you're pretty much set with events.
Interesting. Yeah, I know. It, so many times people don't realize as event planning, there's people you have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
There's decor you have to worry about. There's the actual, not the people that you manage, but the people that are actually coming to the event.
Yes. And it gets crazy after a while. And the other thing that I always say is no matter what's going on, whatever fire, literal or figuratively, is going on, keep a smile on your face.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine. If you need to go in the back and be like, I cannot believe this just happened, go in the back and do that. Because we always say you have your front of the house space and you have your back of the house space. And make sure you keep up that thing. Make sure you go around and you talk to the guests. Make sure you get to meet the people that are there because you never know who's going to be at an event. And that's been a key detail that I've done where you just go out, you kind of walk around. How is everything? What can I help you with? Is there anything I can do to make the event better right there currently?
Mm-hmm.
And it could be as simple as grabbing someone a glass of water.
Yeah.
And now they're like, I remember when I was there, they went and did this for me. Mm-hmm. So it's just the very small details and connecting with people.
Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to mention any names because I think when it comes to events, you get a lot of requests.
Mm-hmm.
What's the strangest request you've ever been given at an event?
Oh, I have to think about that one. I think the strangest that I ever had.
I know this is a tough one.
It's a tough one because I get a lot, and it's and it's usually by people that know they can get away with it, and then you're like, ugh. So I actually had, and it was for no dietary purpose, because I'm really great with that. Yeah. You know, if you need anything dietary wise, I can fix it. They did not want to eat what was there, and it was a bride. And she says, I don't want to tell them that I don't want this food.
Like the food that
that she picked herself. And I said, I thought you wanted this. Yeah. Is everything okay? I am now in the back of my mind smiling, but in panic mode, like, did we do something wrong for her? And she goes, no, I just want my guests to enjoy myself. Can you get me chicken fingers and French fries? Aww. And I was like, oh my gosh, sweetie, I will go and get you anything you want right now. And I literally got her in a golf cart, drove her down to where she could eat, and she just ate her chicken fingers with her groom privately, and then just like went back so nobody knew that she just did not want to eat chicken franchise. That was just like, that was the big thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I know it's not like, because I'm a picky eater. I mean, I was a picky eater. I've been getting a little bit better at it, but right. I could just, how comfortable you made the bride, correct?
Yes.
How comfortable you made her in that type of service. That's yes. more than hospitality. That's service.
Yes.
To give that person that experience that they not only had their guests enjoy, because it's interesting, and you could probably talk a little bit about it. Like a wedding, I know we're still stuck on weddings. I feel like it's the most like common ground for everybody here.
It is.
Like weddings, you want everyone to enjoy, but sometimes I think people forget those who are the ones getting married to enjoy themselves. And I think that's really awesome that you.
Yeah. My biggest thing is you always make the people feel comfortable. Yeah. Like anybody who's there, like, I want you to feel comfortable. And I think the reason why some of these brides do come to me and ask, like, could you please make this? Could you do that? Because I get on such a comfort level with them. Mm-hmm. They know they can just walk up to me and say, I really need this right now.
Yeah.
I would say weird event though, that I ever did was, no one told me.
Okay.
They said, oh, we're doing a funeral service.
Oh, dear.
Yes. You already know where this is going.
Oh, boy.
We're doing a funeral service. We're just going to put the casket in there to make it look like everything. I'm like, oh, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Uh-huh. I'm fine with that. And I'm setting the table. And here, they never told the funeral home this. So I am there at 5 in the morning.
With a casket.
With a casket. And I realize that their relative was actually
in the casket.
And I called them and I said, you do know they didn't actually want their loved one here. They wanted that taken care of. So now here I am just getting a little like, I can't do this. Nope, not happening. Yeah. That was the weirdest event that I kind of had to do. And it wasn't weird because I said, I mean, to their loved ones, the respect and everything. But then I'm thinking, well, respectfully, they did not want their individual there.
You know, so talking about being early to your own party.
Yeah. Oh, very early. I was sitting there and I was like, and I said, this is not what I was told last night. And then they called and it was true. They did not want that there. So again, it's another fire, but for me it was a very awkward fire to say you need to come pick them up, because so that was probably the weirdest event that I had to do situation wise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never know.
No,
like that's no.
I don't assume now.
Right.
That's when, I mean, they always say you don't assume, but I took that to a whole different level now. Mm. Now I triple check with certain events. I'm like, is this how you want this? Is this how you want that? Right. So then I will call and say, I'm letting you know this is the information that I was given. So we're all on the same page.
Oh my gosh. This poor, I mean, not the poor family, but even just.
The situation in general. Yes. Yes. I had to make that phone call. And I was like, no.
I'm sure you've made phone calls of, you know, picking up people who may not be able to drive home because they're intoxicated.
Yes.
Enough. But
that was a whole different level. I was like, and they were like, well, what's the situation? I'm like, the situation is you need to get up here.
Yeah.
And we need to take care of this.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't want them to walk in and find out what they didn't want
Right.
Never again.
Well, and that's the smoke screens and the trap doors.
Like, yes.
You don't realize this event stuff is being put into place until a guest gets there. But more importantly, like, you're having so many moving pieces involved, especially in that scenario, where, you know, it has to be seamless to everyone.
And there have been, I would say, here's my executive decision.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of events where everything's fine, but then something happens where, I mean, brides sometimes take things off their orders for vendors coming in, and they don't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're like, okay, well, here's what we're doing now. And then it's just a quick run, get it done kind of thing, because those are the things you can't expect.
No.
Because you're not expecting it.
I'm so happy you brought up that story.
Yes.
Now, speaking of stories, Caitlin, you did mention briefly about how Misericordia has kind of given you a little bit of opportunity, and as far as your connections, your generations of being a Misericordia alum. How has Misericordia helped you get to where you are today?
They helped me get to where I am today, and I have to say, this is one of the biggest things, and I think a lot of students find that out here. You show up at Misericordia, you're welcomed into a wonderful community of people immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But you start to find your own voice. You start to find your own way at Misericordia. Maybe the person that you were when you got here, you're the complete opposite when you leave. And I think that's the biggest thing that it helped me with, because the education here, I think, is fantastic. And it actually helps you develop who you are and who you want to be when you leave. And I think it's just very unique, because not every school does that.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure that, I mean, he had the influence involved behind that.
Yes.
But I'm sure there was a lot of influential professors that have paved the way for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say, hands down, Dr. Becky. She was the one that, you know, kind of brought me right into the English major immediately, mm-hmm. and helped me with that. Along with, it was an adjunct professor at the time who now actually writes and edits for magazines and everything. And she was like, you know, I really think you need to look at this major. Because when I first got here, like I said, I was medical.
Right.
And that kind of paved the way. And another professor who I still keep in contact with is Professor Winokur from the business department. All the advice he can ever give you, it's always great. And it also helped, because with business law, you kind of can see certain things happening, and you make sure that everything is the way it's supposed to be, and that your contracts are proper and they're correct and everything. And those are the things that you wouldn't expect that you would need in this line of work, but you actually do. So every single time that I've kind of worked at a different place, I've noticed, okay, we need to change this in the contract because of whatever it may be. Things have changed, and that's a huge benefit to the business that you're working for, that you're knowledgeable and you're coming in with that knowledge soundly.
Right.
So
I think you're a really great example as far as, you know, the English degree itself. I mean, so many times I think people get so lost in translation with programs like English, like history, that really are misinterpreted as far as, you know, what can you really do with that degree? And I think you're a really good prime example as far as what I can do with the degree. However, you do a bunch of other things involved.
And that's a huge thing. And that's something that I have to say I pushed for in the 4 years that I was here.
Right.
You have so many family members. Well, what are you going to do with that? Well, I'm going to show you what I can do with that. It's not just teaching. It's not just continuing your education to maybe be a professor, to do all that stuff. It's not just that. English and even history, because our English degree, actually, you have to take history classes along with it, your upper level histories, to know things. You become a well-rounded person because you end up learning so much about the world and people around you, and how to connect with them and how to communicate. And that's something that I think is sometimes missing with, you know, certain people, how you communicate with them. And that degree helps round people into that instantly.
Did you have any other, I don't want to say like career paths, but did you have any other interests maybe along the way through your career before you got to the hospitality business?
Yes. So people were really trying to push me to become a lawyer.
Oh,
that was a big thing.
I remember
thing.
That, actually.
Yes. I remember you and I talked about it. And I said, yeah, and I'm applying and this. And it wasn't I think I remember I was telling you about it. It's not that I was bored with it. It just wasn't exciting me.
Right.
And I said, well, there's just so many lawyers out there. Do I want to do this? And for those that go into the law profession, they're great. They're wonderful. Usually everything's wonderful. But it just seemed like it wasn't for me. And then you kind of have to find that way. And then, like I said, I was working at the Senior Expo for Luzerne County. And I had to get a donation of apples, apple cider, because we were doing like an apple a day for our senior citizens in the area. And as we were sitting there handing it out, we actually had Misericordia volunteer to be a part of it, the commuters. Because we figured, well, Luzerne County, keep it local, do that to show that kids were giving back.
Right.
And you're sitting there and I'm going, this is what I want to do. And I said, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, because I was able to organize the whole thing, get it together, get apples donated, because I was actually in a rainstorm, ran into somebody that knew somebody that could get it donated. And he was just a very generous person and wrote off, oh, I'm going to just buy the apples for you. And it's just, you have to know how to communicate and meet people. And that degree does that.
Yeah.
So
I hate to be so punny, but you literally put the apples to apples as far as what you wanted to do.
Literally, I did. And I just said, I was like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is it. This is what, because I noticed like everyone said, you did such a great job at this. And I kept kind of pushing it aside. Like, yeah, but can you have a career in this? And can you actually do that? And a lot of people said, oh, don't stay local. You're going to have to branch out. And I was able to land myself right where I needed to be every single time. And from each, I kind of call them stepping stones.
Yeah.
So I always said I wanted to do food and beverage, get into that line of work for clubhouse management and all that. And very quickly at, 26, I ended up getting that position at Huntsville, and it all worked out. And, awesome. It's fun. It's really fun to do. So.
And I can't ask you where's next, because I feel like you're so overwhelmed with a bunch of events ahead of time.
But... Oh, yeah. Huntsville will be my home for a while. Yeah. I can say that much. Yeah. So.
But yeah, there's always something bigger out there, I know for a fact. But
yes.
Caitlin, I always end the show with giving Caitlin, our guests.
Yes.
Caitlin, guests, same thing. An opportunity if you would like to shout out any of your classmates or any people that you know and care about. So
absolutely. So one of my best friends, Mara Zumchak, Mary Pat Blaskowitz, Kim Kowalski, and of course Calvin Carnes, who is like my right hand person in everything. So absolutely.
Cool. Awesome. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck on your next event.
Thank you so much.